This is the 28th edition of the Thoughts from the Bench podcast. I am Luke Jett, as your host as always, here with my two co-hosts, Ben Marks and Shane Hardy. Boys, how you doing?
We're good. We're doing great.
Well, I don't want to talk about this, but I guess we're going to have to talk about the Bears just collapse. And Shane, turn off your TV. It's loud.
It's not my TV. It's Ben.
Ben, turn off your TV. It's loud.
Yeah, I gotcha.
There you go. Okay, we're keeping that in the recording anyway. But we can talk about the Bears' just absolute fail against the Packers. Shane, what was your biggest takeaway from the game?
Punters did great.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't even know what to take away from that game. The officialing still sucks. The Bears' defense still sucks. And Jay Cutler is who we thought he was.
I think neither of those interceptions are Jay's fault.
Neither of them.
I don't think so.
Take me through the interceptions again, Luke.
Okay, well, the one was a slant route to Josh Morgan that got tipped.
He's safe.
And the other ones.
Who tipped it? Who tipped it?
The corner. I don't know who it was.
Huh?
The corner, I think.
Somebody, the cornerback? So.
Well, I mean.
The ball was tipped by the cornerback on a throw by Jay Cutler, and it wasn't Jay's fault.
Well, I mean.
Okay. Yeah,
the receiver got Morgan's a hand
gotta,
on it.
Morgan's got to do more to at least try and knock it up there. Morgan let the cornerback.
He didn't see it. He didn't see it. It popped 18 feet of the air.
I think Jay was just trying to get a ball to Josh Morgan, and the cornerback made a jump on it and just tipped it up in the air. I mean,
that's okay, but whose fault is it then?
Nobody's.
If the cornerback jumped the route, it's got to be somebody's fault.
Morgan's got to come off. Cut him off.
Morgan ran a lazy slant route. He just kind of.
Oh my god! I have a question: has Jay Cutler ever thrown an interception in his life that was his fault? Any of you guys?
Yeah, the one against Buffalo in Week 1.
Yeah.
Even the one that was the Brandon Marshall, trust me, came out and said that there was a communication error. Brandon gave Jay the sign, and you know he thought he had an acknowledgement from Jay.
Yeah, Jay threw it to the spot where Brandon should have been.
Yeah, right after the game, Tressman said Marshall's supposed to run a deep curl.
Yeah, and then yesterday on 670 The Score, I was listening, and today they're talking about it, and Tressman came out and said that they're allowed to change the play at the line, they have hand signals, and they have code words, and Marshall and Cutler both went to go confirm it, and Marshall thought he got a confirmation when I guess he didn't, and therefore it was a miscommunication on both of them.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's not completely Jay's fault. Jay threw it to
it's
where...
It's not completely Jay's fault, but the interception in Morgan was a bad throw.
You know what's sad?
Nobody else's fault.
You know what's sad? Jay has to play a nearly perfect game for the Bears to win.
That loss is not on Jay Cutler, but...
No, I'm just saying, like, it's... But it's come down to that.
It comes down to a lot of that. Most quarterbacks, if you throw interceptions in a game, that you know, give the other team more chances to score, you're not going to win games.
When they scored, the defense got zero pressure on Rodgers.
I can't wait from that. As soon as the Bears go down a little bit, what happens? Jay Cutler tries to start forcing Jeff deep.
He needs
to.
He had to take chances.
He has to.
When they were coming out at halftime?
It's poor clock management at the end of the game, and you know that one too.
I don't know.
At the end of the half.
I don't know about that. I mean, you got the play you wanted. Martellus Bennett just didn't run the route enough. If he run,
I'm not talking about the last play. I'm talking about before that, when they decided to have Forte run it.
I didn't understand that call.
They run Forte. That eats up 20 seconds of the clock.
Yeah. I didn't understand.
Timeout. And then we burn our last two timeouts.
Yeah, I didn't understand that.
And then Martellus doesn't go in the end zone at the end, and then there. That's what happens. And then defense could not stop a nosebleed.
I think Martellus is in on that one.
First of all, Martellus, I think, was in. I think that ball crossed the plane because his hands were almost across the plane. If not, it was blocked, obviously. But back to what you were saying, Martellus did not run the wrong route. That's the route he was told to run, and people were questioning why his route was not into the end zone.
No,
Jay threw it to him, hoping he would back into the end zone because Jay thought he would.
No, the route he ran short. He ran the correct route. He just ran it like 2 yards short.
That's not what I heard. I heard that it was weird that his route wasn't into the end zone.
Back
to what you were saying about clock management, I thought the same thing. But I was listening to the radio and they were talking about how it was a former coach on there. I don't recall who it was, but he said that in situations like that, sometimes you go out there and you say, let's not let them get the ball back, and he thinks that's what the Bears are doing there. He knows there's a lot of time left, but he didn't want to take a chance of giving the ball to Aaron Rodgers with that short time left with that much time left. But after you take your second run and you realize that, wow, we are 20 yards away from field goal range, that's when you start playing for 3 points. So I can understand that more now, that you don't want to throw two incomplete passes and then run a ball, and they call timeout, and then you give the ball to Rodgers with about 45 seconds left, because that could have been huge.
And what do you guys think of the onside kick? Because I loved it.
I like it. Defense can stop a nosebleed. Might as well give yourself a chance to get back in the game.
It's one of those things where I like the idea. I kind of thought maybe it was coming, but if you recover it, it's great. But if you don't recover it, all it's showing, telling your defense is you don't have faith in them.
Well, I mean, we were right to not have any faith in them.
Yeah, but you don't think Trestman wasn't out there saying, you guys suck. Now we think, come on, you guys can do it. But, going out there and onside kicking just like was like a punch in the face pretty much to the defense.
I think they needed a punch in the face to get some pressure on Rodgers.
They need a little bit more to punch in the face, all of them. But
it was incredible. Rodgers would, the pocket would open up for 5 seconds. They'd kind of sort of get to the collapse, and all of a sudden Jordy Nelson or Randall Cobb or have nobody within 10 yards of them, wide open for a 25-yard gain. It's like...
Every time.
Every single time. I mean...
Because Chris Conte couldn't coverage or anything.
Oh, don't start with this.
It's true.
You can't blame Chris Conte on all of this.
I can't blame it on all of them, but every game, at least 3 different times a game, he gets burnt on coverage.
Well, I mean, I don't know. He's probably the best safety we have, or the second best safety we have, which is sad, but it's true.
We should have kept Jordan Lynch as a safety.
Why?
Let's bring Tebow in.
Jesus.
Convert him.
He's an athlete. He can play anywhere.
No, but I still really like the Champ Bailey idea. I don't understand why they haven't considered that.
I guess the Lions brought him in.
He's got to be better than Isaiah Fry.
The Lions brought him in for a workout before the season, and they turned him down. So I don't know.
Give him a chance.
I mean, it can't hurt, right? I mean,
definitely couldn't hurt.
You need depth out there, but. Okay, well, the Bears are 2-2, probably where most people thought they would be, maybe 3-1, but right around where everybody thought they were going to be. Going into this game against Carolina looked like a tough matchup at the beginning of the year, but the Panthers are just not as good as everybody thought. Newton's been banged up. They don't have running backs that are healthy, and the defensive line is just decimated with domestic abuse, and now this guy gets suspended 10 games for a substance abuse. I think this is a game that the Bears can certainly win, and I think they should win.
I think a must game. You got to be careful. Can't split 2-3.
Yeah.
Looking at the rest of their way out. That's the message that Trestman needs to send to the troops, that this is a must-win game.
Yeah, but is there any thought that the Bears won't win this game? Like, do you guys have any, I mean, have you seen anything that gives you maybe anything that says the Bears aren't going to come out of Carolina with the victory?
Yes, there is.
Yes, if Jared Allen does not play, then I think there's a chance that we don't win this game.
No, Jared Allen just lost 18 pounds from pneumonia. If he does play, he's not going to be in game shape. He will not be ready.
I don't care. You still got to have someone out there.
Yeah, but he's not going to be in game shape. So if that's the case, then you're going to say the Bears are going to lose already. Which I think, I hope not, but I think the Bears will lose. I think that if you let Cam Newton sit in that pocket and look around and look around and look around, then he's going to make plays, especially to Greg Olsen over the middle, and the Bears seem to have a lot of trouble covering the tight ends.
Yeah, but Greg Olsen's the only guy they have.
Well, they got Calvin Benjamin.
Yeah, but if you stick Tim Jennings on Calvin Benjamin, he's their top guy. I mean, who are we going to try?
You stick Tim Jennings on Jordy Nelson, and look what happened.
We all saw how that happened.
Well, okay, that's fair.
Sir Jennings can fall in the end zone a couple times.
Yeah, but you're not playing on the shitty Luke. You put the explicit thing on this. Soldier Field turf.
Yeah, and you're not playing Aaron Rodgers.
That's true.
Cam Newton passing is so much better than Aaron Rodgers passing.
Plus, I think it'll help the Bears that Carolina's run is not where it's supposed to be. Jonathan Stewart is injured.
D'Angelo Williams is injured.
D'Angelo Williams practiced today.
No, he has a cast on.
Well, somebody practiced today. One of their running backs. It was either Stewart or
I think it was Stewart.
Practiced today.
I think I saw Stewart practice today, too. But still, I mean, Jonathan Stewart's not very good by himself.
But my point being is because the running backs are injured, it gives Trestman and Mel Tucker the ability to blitz more often. And
what's a blitz?
Because Trestman said the other day that they didn't want to blitz Rodgers because of this explosive playmakers on the outside that Green Bay has. Well, Carolina doesn't have those playmakers.
Yeah.
And they're less likely to break off big runs when we do blitz.
That's true.
So I think we'll be able to get more pressure on Cam Newton, and they don't have those explosive playmakers that we were talking about.
That's a problem. That's a problem to me that you go into halftime and you're not blitzing Rodgers. There's no pressure on him. He's eating you alive. Why not come out and bring eight guys? Bring almost everybody. Why not try it at least? It couldn't hurt, and I didn't see any of that. I saw a few blitz packages here and there, but I'm talking about switch it up. Run fake blitz. Have a guy fake blitz and have another guy come off the end, or bring the house. Just something different. And as you said, they just weren't getting it done up front, and they weren't getting it done in secondary either. So they got to try something.
Well, a positive, they only limited Eddie Lacy to under 50 yards rushing, so.
Well, Lacy hasn't had more than 50 yards hardly the whole season, so.
Yeah, but he's faced good run defenses. I mean, nothing like the Bears,
Yeah, that's true.
Well, why run the ball when you don't have to? Why run the ball when you're scoring every seven plays in the past?
I agree with that, but when they ran, they stopped him.
Error does not compute.
One other thing I saw is that when the Bears as soon as the Bears went down, it looked like they just stopped running the ball. It looked like they went straight to pass to try to catch back up when I think if the Bears would have kept running the ball, it would have been closer at the end.
I don't think they could run the ball. They had to play catch up the whole game.
When you're down by one score.
In the second
10
half.
Points.
In the second half, they had to play catch up because the defense allowed a touchdown right away. You're down 10 points, and
but you don't have to. You have two quarters or a quarter and a half, whatever it was, and had the ball back. So you make that up, and if your run's working, then I think you have to stick with it. You can't go all the way to pass mode because that puts pressure.
And then, your defense can't stop them. So.
Against the pack industry,
but
that gives your defense more of a chance. It's more of a chance for them to go rest and maybe do something to help themselves. I don't know.
Okay.
I just don't see why if the run was working so good, and you're a march. It was taking a little bit of time to get downfield. You're getting downfield, gives the defense a break. Why go away from it completely? You go down by 10 points.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, they did have 235 yards on the ground against Green Bay, so positive.
I wonder how many they had in the second half besides like the very coming out of the halftime.
Kadeem Carey looked good.
I like that.
But okay, we'll head back to the Bears Panthers game. Who's your key offensive player? Mine is going to be Matt Forte. I think the Panthers are 27th against the run. I think Forte can have another big game, and that establishes, I mean, the run defense. And coming off Green Bay, the Green Bay game where he dominated, he could have another big game.
I agree with that. I think that the key will be Jay Cutler's play. He made those two throws that were questionable, and then they had another questionable throw that got batted down or something like that. But I think if he manages the game like he can and makes smart throws like he has been all year, with the exception of the first game, I think that the Bears will have a chance to win.
All right. Shane, who's your offensive key player?
I'm going to go with the coaching staff. I think that all the offensive players are going to be important, but I think the biggest thing is going to be play calling. And I mean, that might not work for an offensive player for you guys, but I think that's what's going to make or break the Bears this week is play calling.
Yo, Pirates like
me. A good sign out of Bears practice today was Brandon Marshall was a full participant in practice for the first time since his injury. So that's a positive. And on the defensive side of the ball, I think you got to challenge the pass rushers. And they got an F last week. And I think that they're going to need to step up their game. And Jared Allen's going to help, but they're going to need to pressure Cam Newton. They got to keep him inside the pocket, but get pressure on him at the same time. You don't want to let him get outside and be explosive and use his legs. But I think the pass rush has to be the key to the Bears' win.
Yeah, I was going to go with strictly Lamar Houston because he has been off the radar all year. Like I said, I hope Jared Allen plays. I mean, it's always nice to have Jared Allen on the field, but with him just coming off that sickness, I wouldn't expect way too much from him. But we just signed Lamar Houston. Everybody's super excited about him, and he has done nothing on us for passing or for rushing the quarterback.
You want to know why Shark won't go to the Yankees?
I'm just hearing all of Benny T right now.
I think my defensive key to the game is the linebacking core. Last week, they played all right, but against Carolina, since they don't have those deep threats on the outside, I think Carolina is where they're going to beat us, is in the middle of the field. The linebacking core can play well, then they can take away that threat out in the middle, and also on key blitzes, they need to be able to get through the line and get pressure on Cam.
I agree with that.
I think the linebackers have been playing one of the better. I think they've been playing better than the defensive line and the secondary has been all year.
Yeah,
I'm not saying they've been playing great, but they've been playing better than the rest of the defense has, in my opinion.
My prediction for the Bears game, I'm taking the Bears to win. I think that Jay's going to have a bounce back game. Bounce back for him, which he still had a higher quarterback rating than his career mark, but whatever. I think he's going to have a good game. I think that the Bears are going to force a couple takeaways. Cam Newton's not the same guy as he was last year. He doesn't have the playmakers he did. And I think that the Bears will come away with a, let's say, 27-10 victory.
My prediction for the game, I think the Bears win. I think it's a little bit closer. I'll say 17-10.
I'm going to say that Carolina wins. I hope I'm wrong. But after last week, I don't have any faith in the defense right now. And as soon as we go, because I feel like he's trying to do too much. So I'm going to take the win.
All right, and that'll lead us right into our pick'ems. We'll start with tomorrow night's game, Minnesota at Green Bay. I'm taking Green Bay.
I'm taking Green Bay, too. It's always hard for quarterbacks to come off and play on a short week, and especially with Bridgewater getting hurt last week. So I'm taking Green Bay.
I'm going to take Green Bay also. Bridgewater injured. Vikings don't really have a quarterback. All the make things tough for running the ball.
I think
Minnesota's done well this year.
I think Bridgewater's going to play.
Yeah, Bridgewater's playing, but it's just going to be hard to play for quarterbacks, let alone if you were hurt the week before.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Cleveland at Tennessee. I'm taking the Titans.
I'm taking Cleveland, baby. Brian Hoyer all the way.
And Ben?
I'm going to take Cleveland.
Really?
Tennessee has Locker coming back, but I just don't see it.
Next game is the Rams at the Eagles. I'm taking the Eagles.
I'm taking the Eagles.
Eagles by, I'll give them 14.
Atlanta at the Giants. I'm thinking Eli has another big game. I'm taking the Giants.
I'm going to.
I think I'm going to go with Atlanta here. Matty Ice.
Shane, you said Atlanta, right?
Yep.
Okay. Tampa Bay at New Orleans. Mike Glennon, do you believe? Baby. Ben, do you believe in Mike Glennon for a second straight week?
Tampa 2, baby. It's going to work. Bucks
suck. I'm taking the Saints. Houston at Dallas.
Not a big win. Faith in my Tampa 2.
Houston at Dallas. I'm taking the Cowboys.
I'm taking the Cowboys too, man.
I am going to take the Cowboys also. I think they'll do a better job containing J.J. Watt. And Michael Murray will have another big game.
And the newly named starting quarterback, Kyle Orton, and his Buffalo Bills at the NFC North division leading Detroit Lions. I'm taking the Bills in an upset special.
Former Bear, great.
Give me some neck beard.
I'm going to go to Detroit. I just don't see it. They said Kyle Orton's gained a few sizes in the waist, and I think it's going to show on the field.
I got Detroit. Here, too many weapons on offense for Buffalo to handle.
He certainly can't get any uglier. Ravens at Colts. I'm taking the Colts and my boy Andrew Luck.
Said it before, I'd say it again. It's hard to go against Andrew Luck. Go with Colts.
I believe in the Ravens. Steve Smith is a changed man against a battered Colts secondary and defense. I'm going to go with the Ravens.
You guys gave me shit for picking Steve Smith, fantasy.
I did not.
I don't think I did.
I'm
pretty sure
have.
It was specifically Luke.
It might have been.
At the draft, pretty sure Luke said, you're picking Steve Smith, he's washed up.
Well, he has proved me wrong thus far. Let's see what he can do for the whole season. We'll see. Steelers at Jags. I'm taking the Steelers as my lock of the week.
I'm going to pick the Steelers. They're coming off a tough victory. I think they come back strong and kill the Jets. Not the Jets, the Jags.
Yeah, I think Steelers can run the ball all over Jacksonville. Even though I do think Jacksonville is a completely different team with Blake Bortles.
I picked Blake Bortles
like
up in fantasy.
Out my boy Clay Harbor had 6 receptions last weekend.
Clay Harbor got a mention on the fantasy football podcast that I listened to.
Yeah, him and Blake Bortles must be good friends because Blake Bortles spotted him a lot. He did pretty good, so.
I picked up Blake Bortles in fantasy this week.
I was going to pick him up, too. He's just a little too inconsistent for me. You know, he's getting sacked, he'll chuck the ball, trying to get it near somebody. Not making the right decisions yet, but watch out because he's going to be there in a few, later this year and early next year.
All right. maybe the game of the weekend, the Cardinals go to Mile High and face Denver. I'm going to take Denver, but that game's going to be really good.
I am going to go with Arizona. I like Arizona. I like what they're doing on offense. Their corners are playing well. Comes with the upset.
I'm going to go with Peyton Manning, Denver Broncos. Like I said, home team, Mile High, Peyton Manning.
All right, we got the Chiefs at the Niners. I'm going to take the Niners off their big win against the Eagles last week.
I'm going with the Chiefs, baby. Jamal Charles is back.
I'm going to go with the Niners, I think. I think they'll win. Kansas City's coming off a big win against New England, but, I mean, New England's offense isn't that good, so I think San Fran gets it done.
Little sidebar here. The Bears go to Foxborough at the end of the month. Does that game scare you guys anymore?
Yes, it does. I think there's still stuff left in the tank for Brady and Belichick. I think they'll figure it out, and that's going to be a close game.
Because I don't think I'm scared anymore. Shane?
I'm scared every time. You don't know what Bears team is going to step on the football field. Yeah, I'm nervous, and I'm scared of every game, in every quarter, every play. I'm just nervous.
Well, that's true. Back to the picks. We got the Jets at the Chargers. I'm going to go with the Chargers. They might be the best team in football.
I'm going to go with the Chargers as well. Rivers and Royal are a deadly combo. I think they win this one.
I'm going to go with the Jets. Over them. And I think the Jets defense is going to step up and get to Rivers quite a bit.
Okay, we got the Sunday night game, the Bengals at the Patriots. I'm taking the Bengals to stay undefeated.
Jeez. Wow. I'm going to take the Bengals as well. I said earlier that Belichick and Brady are going to figure it out. I just don't think this is going to be the game.
I'm taking the Bengals, and that's my lock of the week.
All right, and the final game, the Monday night game, we got the Seahawks at the lowly Washington Redskins. I'm taking the Seahawks.
I'm going to take the Seahawks as well. I think that Kirk Cousins has a bounce back game. Can't play much worse than he did last time. But I think Seattle's too much.
Yeah, I'm going with the Seahawks as well. They're coming off a bye, and they're all going to be fresh, ready to play.
All right, and those are our picks of the week. Little update here. Ben is leading the pack, one game over Austin, who is off tonight. I'm two games back, and then Caleb is just barely over 500, and Shane is under 500, bringing up the rear. But plenty
Someone's
of time.
Someone's got to do it, baby.
Plenty of time. It's only week five. And we're going to switch gears to the fantasy portion of our podcast. Obviously, all you know, we're all in the same fantasy league together. Shane and I are both 2-2. Ben's 1-3. Shane and Ben are playing each other this week. Shane, who's your guy to start this week? Who are you thinking?
Wait, are we talking about like our sleepers to start, or like if you're in trouble, start somebody?
Yeah, either way, somebody you need a big game out of, or some decision you're thinking about making.
Well, I'm gonna just go out there. If anyone had any fantasy questions and is having trouble this week, Ravens running back. I don't know his first name by chance, but his last name is like Telefario. Anybody knows his name by chance? Anybody know him?
I think it's Jason. But I'm not
Whatever.
Sure.
And then looking at him for the last 2 weeks after Ray Rice got hurt, people are saying that he might be the lead back by the end of the year. He had a touchdown last week, and he's projecting another one this week. He's getting quite a few carries, and I think that if you're, you know, in trouble this week and looking for a flex, I would go with him.
My pick of the week is, I think, AJ Green. Green's coming off a bye. Cincinnati's playing New England, and New England showed last week that they hardly got any pressure on Alex Smith, so I doubt they get any more pressure on Andy Dalton. Dalton turns to Green a lot, and the Pats cornerbacks aren't what they were in years past, so AJ Green is going to have a big game.
I am calling out LeSean McCoy. Where are you? I am waiting for your dividends. I picked you number 2 overall, and you just haven't performed. 1 point last week. I know it was against the Niners, but this week you're playing the Rams at home. I expect a big game out of LeSean McCoy this week, and hopefully it gets my fantasy back on track. But so we're going to, as we do at the end of every podcast, we're going to dedicate this podcast to number 28. And, guys, if I may, we're going to dedicate it to my boy Ben Smith, Blackhawks center and forward. I love Ben Smith, so we're going to give it to Ben Smith.
Hockey season's right around the corner. I think I saw, what, is it 7 days? 6 days tomorrow?
8th. 9th.
8.
Then we could start talking about some Blackhawks hockey on here. But I don't think we got, maybe next week we'll do our NHL predictions. I don't know how we do that. Maybe we just do the Stanley Cup finals and stuff. But I don't see any reason why the Hawks and Kings won't be in the playoffs again and play each other. So I just hope that happens because it's always a good time.
Oh, yeah.
Those are always good games. I'm looking forward to them.
But all right, well, that's going to do it for episode 28. You can find us on iTunes and Stitcher. You can find us on Twitter at ShyBenchThought and like us on Facebook at Thoughts from the Bench. And we will talk to you guys next week.